Well, we're in the series of messages that we've titled The Songs of Christmas. The Songs of Christmas. Because when you think about it, there are more songs that have been inspired by the birth of Jesus Christ than any other event in human history. I mean, you go from some of the classical songs like songs written by Bach or Handel. You go to some of the great hymns of the church, songs written by Charles Wesley or Phillips Brooks. You go to some of the more contemporary songs. Stephen Curtis Chapman just released a Christmas song called Joy. And you go to a guy named Bieber. I think his first name is Justin. Last year, about this time, he released a Christmas album, and some people got sort of excited about that. And so all kinds of people are putting out their Christmas songs. And I just like us to take a moment to allow you to say to each other what song you especially look forward to hearing or singing during this Christmas season. Just take a moment to do that. Christmas is an occasion that just cries out for music. What's a song that you hope to sing or hear sometime during the Christmas season? Just take a moment to do that. Okay, we're not going to take a whole lot of time with this. I'm wondering if we could hear from one of the guys and one of the ladies and one of the kids a song that you're hoping to sing or hear this Christmas season. One of the men. Thank you, guys. One of the women. What's that? Baby, it's cold outside. All right. Thank you, Mark. That's very stirring, isn't it? All right, we got one from the men. Ladies, could you top that? White Christmas? All right, White Christmas. How about one of the children? One of the children, a song that you want to hear or sing this Christmas time. Rachel? Jingle Bells? Angels We Have Heard on High. Okay. Well, this morning we want to talk about the very first song that was inspired by Jesus' birth. It may be the most influential, the most profound, the most insightful song that was ever written, and it was written by a 15-year-old girl. And one of the reasons that makes her song so powerful is because she had to live the song that she wrote. She had to live it. And I think if we're really going to get the strength of her song, we're going to have to remember Mary's story. Remember that when the angel first approached Mary about having this child, she wasn't real thrilled about it, was she? You might use words like she was stunned, she was dumbfounded, but probably not thrilled. But as she continued in her conversation with the angel, Mary gets to the point where she just demonstrates from her life an unusual sense of faith and character. When you come to verse 43, she says to the angel, "How can this be, since I am a virgin?" Now remember, Mary is in the presence of Gabriel, the angel. She's in the presence of the representative of God. And so she's not going to say, "Come on, you got to be kidding. What's this all about?" I mean, no, she has a very reverent sense that she's in the presence of God's messenger. But in his presence, she has all freedom and permission to say, "How can this be?" And folks, some of us hear this situations right now. And maybe it doesn't feel comfortable for you to react to God, but God wants you to come into his presence and say, "Lord, how can this be? I can't understand this. I can't figure this out." And God delights to relate to his children in just that way. How can this be? But then she goes on to say, I'm a virgin. Joseph and I aren't even married yet. We're just engaged. How could we possibly have a baby? Friends, do you hear that? Do you hear the devotion and the character and the beauty of that expression? We're not even married yet. We're just engaged. How could we possibly have a baby? Now, the text doesn't specifically address the other tough stuff that Mary was going to run into. Matthew 1 gives us more information about that. But Matthew 1 reminds us of all the repercussions that Mary is going to experience as she goes through this journey. I mean, she's 15 years old and she's pregnant and she's not married. And you can understand that she would be the subject of a lot of gossip in her community, right? And the word punishment is up there. The Old Testament said that a person in her situation might well be stoned. Now, Mary didn't hope that was going to happen. She couldn't be sure. But we also know that if this baby turned out to be the kind of person verses 32 and 33 says he's going to be a Messiah of some sorts, there's going to be other kings that are angry at him, at Mary. And that's what happened with King Herod. When he heard about the baby being born, he was angry. And Mary and Joseph and little Jesus needed to go as an exile, refugees in Egypt, far away from their home and their language and the people that they loved. I'm wanting to help you to sense, friends, the context in which Mary sang this song that Betty read for us so well. Her situation was hard. We could say that Mary suffered at this point more for the Messiah than the Messiah ever suffered for her. But she magnified the Lord because she knew that the Lord is mighty. And because the angel said to her in verse 37, notice that, nothing is impossible with God. And Mary responds with her exemplary statement. Let's see if we can put it up there. May it be to me as you have said. Let's read that together. May it be to me as you have said. And Mary proceeded to write the first song of Christmas. It's sometimes called the Magnificat because the first line in Latin says, my soul magnifies the Lord. And here's where I want to begin to connect you with the first take-home from this scripture this morning. I want to remind you, friends, Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord. I want to remind you, friends, that every soul magnifies something. That's a part of the human condition. We all magnify something. We all have something that we give an extra large space to in our lives. Something that our minds go to when we're not thinking of anything else. Your desires get wrapped around it. Your joys and sorrows get wrapped around whether you have more or less of this. We all magnify something. For some of us, it's success. For some of us, it's money. For some of us, it's sex. For some of us, it's NASCAR or the Eagles. We'll have a level playing field here. Some people magnify worry and problems. Always thinking about the worst that could go wrong. Some folks magnify security. Some folks magnify the approval of other people. always thinking about that. That's so huge in some of our minds, always thinking about what other people think. Listen, Mary magnified the Lord. Do you know that in that song that Betty read, there are at least a dozen references to Old Testament scriptures? And the key verse from the Old Testament is in Psalms 35, where the psalmist says, "My soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God." You know what? Some scholars suggest, listen to this, some scholars suggest that Mary may have memorized the entire book of Psalms. Her mind is immersed in Scripture. And she's only 15 years old. Now, I want you to notice the theme of her song. If you notice there toward the end of verse 49, we're actually going to start at the end of her song and go toward the beginning. The last part of her song, the last line of verse 39 says, "Holy is his name." This Lord that she is magnifying, holy is his name. He is exalted high above the created universe. He is absolutely perfect and pure. He is all-knowing. He is all-powerful. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And his ways blend together into this perfect harmony called holiness. Holy is his name. And what stirs Mary's heart is how his holiness expresses itself. Notice, his holiness is expressed by exalting the lowly and bringing down the haughty. Now you might expect that the God who reigns over the universe, who is almighty and all-powerful, might come down and side with the wealthy, with the powerful, with the people who have some position. But he exalts the lowly, and he brings down the haughty. And listen, what fills Mary with joy is that God loves to go to bat for the underdog who call on his mercy. Did you hear that? God loves to go to bat for the underdog who calls on his mercy. She mentions it three times. I have three verses listed there. In verse 50, she said, "His mercy extends to those who fear him." Verse 52, "He lifts up the humble." Verse 53, "He fills the hungry with good things." This is the magnificent God that Mary is magnifying. Now that's the one side of God's holiness. Now look at the bottom line here. He brings down the haughty. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts, verse 51 says. He brought down rulers, verse 52 says. Verse 53 says he sent the rich away, or the self-satisfied away. He sent them away empty. Listen, friends. Right here is a preview of Jesus' upside-down kingdom. Wherever Jesus reigns, all the messed up, junked up, dark values of this world are defied and challenged and overthrown. Wherever Jesus reigns, the dark, junked up, messed up stuff of this world is defied and challenged and overthrown. And on the other hand, those who give of themselves to Christ and to others are fulfilled. Those who humble themselves will be lifted up. And those who reverence God receive mercy. That's Mary's song. Now, going backwards in your text, if you have your Bible open, we come to verses 48 and 49. And Mary sees herself as an example. She sees her own life as an example of the surprising way in which God works. Notice what she says. He has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. Why, he made her the mother of God's son. And Mary is so deeply moved by what is happening. God is about to change the course of history. And where is he working? Listen, it's the most unusual place. He is about to change the course of history. And where is he working? He's working with two humble, obscure women. One is old and barren, and the other is young and a virgin. And Mary is so moved by this vision of God as the lover of the lowly that she just breaks out in song. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Now, how do you magnify God? How do you magnify God? Mary says, my soul magnifies the Lord. How do you magnify God? Well, I believe a big part of it is to allow your life to be immersed in Scripture as Mary's was. To allow the Scriptures to show us how great and big and wise and strong our God is. And then just to allow that truth to permeate our beings. Allow the truth of God to permeate your being. And when you allow His truth to permeate your being, it changes the way you look at life. Everything gets put into perspective when we magnify God. Problems look different. Fears seem smaller. Worries get smaller. Relational stalemates seem hopeful when we magnify God. You know, I believe Mary didn't just sing this song once. Like the angels in Luke 2:14, that was kind of a once and done deal, you know. But I believe Mary sang this song again and again. This came from the core of her being, and I believe she just sang it to Jesus again and again. How many of you parents have little diddly songs that you sing to your children again and again? All right, a few of you. Katie has a diddly song that she sings to her parents again and again. Yeah. Yeah, I've always had these little diddlies. My kids still come back to me and tell me about the diddlies that I sang to Jeremy and to Suzanne and to Doug. And if I had the courage, I'd probably sing one to you. Or if you really pushed me on it, I might sing one to you. Is that a yes? You asked for it. Jeremy is our oldest, and he, when he really got fussy in the car, you know, when he was a preschooler, and so I had this song I gave to him. I like Jeremy, and Jeremy likes me. Whenever we ride, we go diddly-dee. Diddly-diddly-diddly-dee. Whenever we ride, we go diddly-dee. And then I would go, ah, and then he'd go, woo, woo, and I'd go, ah, woo. Whoa, ah, ah, yay, you guys got it. Diddly, diddly, that was it. Really kind of a weak song there, huh? Doesn't rank up there with Mary's song. But our kids remember it, and our kids tell that to their kids. And I got to thinking, folks, that our lives are marked by the songs that are sung by the people that we love. Do you hear me? Our lives are marked by the songs that are sung by the people that we love. And not only the verbal songs, not only the melodic songs, but the songs that we sing by from our lives. Our lives are marked by those songs. And if we sing them often enough, they may become the songs of our children too. And Mary sang a song. And I believe she sang this song that Betty read. I believe she sang this song to Jesus over and over again. I believe he'd say, he'd crawl up in his mom's lap and he'd say, Jesus, mommy, sing me that song again about how God is so big and strong and powerful. And what's amazing then to me is to see how Jesus is Mary's song come to life. You know, Jesus is sitting on Mary's lap and he says, Mommy, tell me about Gabriel, the angel Gabriel. And Mary says, well, he told me I was going to have a baby, and I just couldn't believe it. And the angel said, well, nothing is impossible with God. And years later, Jesus is teaching the disciples, and he comes across a really tough one, and the disciple says, how can this be? And Jesus says, well, with men this is impossible, but nothing is impossible with God. Where did she get that? She's singing her mom's song. And Jesus heard Mary sing many times how God had blessed her. Though she was one of the smallest, insignificant people in one of the most forgotten corners of the world, God has been mindful to his humble servant. And from now on, he says, that she will be called blessed. She must have sung that song to Jesus again and again. And then one day, Jesus was with his followers on the side of a hill, and he looked into their faces, and he saw their poverty, and he saw their neglect. And he said to them, blessed are you. Blessed are you poor in spirit. Blessed are you who are mourn. Blessed are you who are meek, for now through me, through my life, the love and power of God is available to you too. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, is the song Mary sang. Jesus remembered that song. And Jesus would have heard Mary sing many times that he fills the hungry with good things, and he sends the self-satisfied away empty. And so one day, Jesus was out in a faraway place, and there was a bunch of people, 5,000 people, and they were just so poor and so hungry, and Jesus fed them. And another day, it was 4,000, and Jesus fed them. And one night he was with his disciples in the upper room, and he took bread and he broke it. And he took a glass of wine and he gave it to them. And he said, this is my body, this is my blood, which is for you. He's living Mary's song. He's filling the hungry with good things. It's the second Sunday of Advent, the third Sunday before Christmas. And God is calling us this morning, I believe, to magnify him. To magnify him. And as a church, I believe we've just been thinking and dreaming about how we can fill the hungry with good things. And so many of you are involved in ministries that are providing for people around us. Last Sunday, Pastor Chris was reminding us that as a congregation, but as a people in this part of the world, we are so privileged, and God has given us this privileged position because he wants us to live as servants in this world. He reminded us last Sunday that we have been blessed in order to be a blessing, and I know that many of us are sensing that. It was just so wonderful to have so many new friends, wasn't it, at our Thanksgiving Eve service? And more of us, I sense, are making trips down to Open Line. We've been reaching out to neighbors and friends still recovering from the storm. And now at Christmas time, we have special opportunities to fill the hungry with good things. Last Sunday, Pastor Chris talked about the project that the Moms Group is doing to prepare these health kits And I believe they're going to be assembled, Chris, on the 19th of December. And we also have this incredible opportunity to join together with the Infinity Church in the Bronx. It's a church that's surrounded by at least four housing developments, government-sponsored housing developments, where many of the people live under the national poverty line. And many of these parents probably hardly have the funds to buy their kids Christmas gifts. But we have that opportunity to gift kids who otherwise might not have gifts on Christmas morning. And so we've got the collection table up. Is that the collection table up back there? And we want to keep filling that collection table until it flows over. And then some of you probably will have the opportunity to go to Harlem and help to distribute those gifts. And you know what I think? You know what I think? As God sees this happening, as Jesus sees this happening, he's looking down and he turns to his mom and he says, "Hey, Mom, they're singing our song. They're singing our song." He fills the hungry with good things. Magnify him this season, folks. Nothing is impossible with God. Mary magnified the Lord in a situation that was more scary and more confusing than any of you can imagine. She clung to the truth that God's ways are higher than our ways. She clung to the truth that with God, nothing is impossible. And she would say to us this morning, what is the issue? What is the issue that makes this Christmas season seem hard for you? Almost every one of us has such an issue. What is the issue that makes this Christmas season seem hard for you? I can hear Mary saying, would you commit yourself to an experiment? Maybe a 7-day experiment through this week? Or maybe a 16-day experiment if you've got the countdown on, you know, it's 16 days till Christmas. Would you commit yourself to an experiment? That issue that makes Christmas time seem hard to you, whenever it comes to your mind, would you just ask God to write over that situation with God? There's nothing that is impossible. With God, there is nothing that is impossible. And would you just allow yourself to visualize the wisdom and the love of God working to bring step-by-step change into that situation? And then would you offer yourself like Mary and say, Lord, I'm your servant. Work through me as you will. And then give thanks to God. Oh God, you are so faithful, so good, and so wise. Nothing is impossible with you. Amen. I'm going to ask Judd if he would come forward, please. And if we could have the candle lighter. Judd's going to be our lighter this morning. Wade looks just like his father. And a lot of people look at Wade and call him Judd. Hi, Wade. Good brother, man. Thanks for agreeing to light our Advent candle. We're going to light the candle in the back here. Thank you. Thank you, Wade. Can you see the candle? Can you see the flame on the candle? Just look into the candle. Just look into the flame. Just see the flame saying to us this morning, magnify him. Magnify him. Magnify him this week. Fill the hungry with good things. Wherever and whenever you have opportunity, Fill the hungry with good things. Magnify him. For nothing is impossible with God. Amen?
Children can be dismissed for Kids Connection. Thank you, John, for leading us through that passage that way. I don't know that I've ever really gone through that passage with that kind of an overlook of it. Thank you very much. This brings us to our sharing time. It's a time for you to share your prayer requests, things that we can pray for you or praise along with you. Things that have happened throughout the week or upcoming. I think Charlie has a microphone, so if you'd raise your hand and say your name.